Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and also Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7. A very popular and to some of us familiar text, Matthew 6, 33. But seek ye first, somebody say first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, somebody say these things, shall be added unto you. Psalm 75, verse 6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on the subject, my source. My source. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I love you, but you're not my source. Tell him, at best, you're a resource, but God is my source. You may be seated in the house of God. Looking, searching, seeking. We all do it every day, all day. Looking for some place to eat. Come on. If you're single, looking for a date. Come on. And see, now that Valentine's Day is over, everybody wants a girlfriend or boyfriend. Now that they've passed that big present holiday, that they don't have to buy something. You know, a lot of people break up with their girlfriend and boyfriend before Christmas, and then they get back together with them after Valentine's Day so they can save some money. Not a bad idea. But we're all looking for something. Sometimes they're very, very insignificant things. Sometimes it's very, very large in respect to where we are in our lives. But we all have need of so many things every day of our lives. And our needs can become so big that we all we see is our need, and we forget that we serve a God that is bigger than our need. And when we understand that the God we serve, the day that we said yes to Jesus Christ, that we never have to go with another day of our lives where our need is bigger than our God, it changes your life. For the last 18 years that I've been walking stride for stride with God, for the last 18 years being directed by the Holy Spirit that now resides within me, it is a calming, it is a peace-filled, it is a joy-filled thought and life when I wake up every morning knowing nothing I encounter today is bigger than the God that I serve. There is no news I can get by email, no text. There is nothing that can happen in this world that is so big that will shake my faith in the God that holds all of the world in his hands, in the God that created the world, in the God that is still in control of everything that is happening, that I don't have to put my faith in anyone else, but my faith is in God. Everybody is looking for something. Everybody seeks. It's not the point of seeking that gets you to where you want to be. It is the order in which we seek. There are so many people I know that seek God, but they seek him out of order. They seek God with the time that they have left over. They seek God only when they need something. But as for this house and for the people of Living Way, whether it's your first time or you've been here many years, we want this to be a place where no matter what is going on, we seek God first. If you're taking notes, write down this little saying, seek first, seek up, seek often. It will change your life. When you are met with bad news, seek first the kingdom of God. And I can tell I can tell who's in charge of our lives, and I can tell where our faith is and by which the order we seek. When we have bad news, do we run to somebody or do we run to God? Do we talk to somebody else about our problem or do we talk to God about our problem? Do we talk to our problem about our God? Do we talk to other people? Where does our money go first? Because wherever your thoughts go, wherever your mouth goes, come on, wherever your body goes, wherever your money goes, whatever you spend your time doing the most and what you spend your time doing first, lets us know where you lie in seeking Christ. It is important that we seek up first, that we seek God and His counsel and His direction. Way too many times, not only in Christians' lives, but unbelievers, but I see it in so many Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christians, that when we are met with uncertainty, when we are met with choices, when we are met with different options, we want to go about making decisions on our own. But can I encourage you, from the largest decisions of your life to the very minute decisions of your life, talk to God first. When you talk to God first and you go to the Word of God first, you're not going to waste time thinking about things that God's just going to tell you no right off the bat. Not only talk to God, but know His Word. There's a lot of us talking to God about things that have been settled in His Word. I'm talking to somebody today. You are praying about things and you're saying, if it's the will of God. You don't have to pray if it's the will of God when you know the will of God. You put the Word of God in you when you don't need it, and it will be there when you do need it. There are way too many people that have callous on their knees because they're spending time praying about things that God has already settled. You don't have to pray and say, God, if it's your will, I want you to heal me. I know that God said by His stripes I am healed. So I don't pray for healing, I pray from healing. God, I know what your word says, and I'm going to seek you first. And while I'm seeking you, the cancer is going to dissolve. While I'm seeking you, my body's going to line back up with your word. Seek up, seek first, seek up, seek often. Sunday's not enough. Wednesday's not enough. Conferences are not enough. Everything in your life, you got to have Sunday morning worship, praise God. But you got to have some Monday afternoon worship. You got to have Bishop preaching to you on Sunday. And then you got to get a couple podcasts you can listen to on Monday and Thursday. And then you've got to have your personal Bible time on Friday and Saturday. You've got to fill yourself up with the Word. Why? Because it shows that I'm seeking God first. And when I keep God first, everything becomes a distant second. But when I keep God first, I open up my eyes and there's what I needed. But instead of seeking what I needed, I sought the source that could give me what I needed. And little did I know that while my little eyes were shut tight and I was praying and interceding and seeking God in worship, that when I opened up my eyes, there everything that I had need of just showed up at my door. Why? Because I saw it first. But we all know those people that seek out of order. I put on a couple years ago that even atheists, even the agnostic, have sought God. They just didn't seek Him long enough. They sought for a moment, and because they did not find what they think they would find, they quit searching, they quit seeking, and they just wrote things off. Can I encourage you that when we talk about seeking, seeking means to search diligently, that I am going to seek until I find. I am going to knock until the door is open. I am going to ask until I receive. There is something to be said about people that on Sunday morning, you show up saying, God, I need this done in my life. And if it's not done by the next Saturday, you're here again on Sunday saying, God, I'm still here. I'm still serving. I'm still praising. I'm still worshiping. How many people quit seeking just short of the greatest miracle of their life? I'm here to tell you, the devil doesn't want you to start seeking, but the devil will pull out every stop he can pull out to make you stop seeking. It's amazing to me, so many people that love God, that are called according to purpose, that start off so exuberant and zealous and excited about the things of God, we just put it on cruise control once we get to a certain maturity. But I want to encourage you, don't stop short of where God has called you to be. It doesn't matter if you've been living for God for 20 days or 20 years. You've got to seek first, you've got to seek up, and you've got to seek often. You say, Pastor, I know I could serve God in in my sleep. No, you can't, because you're sleeping in a body that is called flesh, and that flesh will double cross you whenever it gets the chance. But if you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, if you wake up thinking about him and not them, if you wake up looking at him and not them, if you wake up with the good news on your heart and not the other news and the fake news of this world, I promise you every need of your life will be met. If you're taking notes, write this down. You will find what you seek. You will find what you seek. If you like drama, you'll find it. I know people that if there's no drama, they'll create drama. Just because they don't know how to exist in peace with no strife and division. If you're looking for offense, you'll find offense. If you go into Chili's looking for a fight with the wait staff, you're going to find it, because your tea's not going to be sweet enough. They're going to take too long to seat you. They're going to take too long to serve you. If you're looking for a fight, you'll find a fight. If you're looking for offense, you'll find offense. If you're looking for bitterness, you'll find bitterness. If you're looking for some reason to hate somebody, you'll find that reason. I'm not looking for reasons for the. I'm looking for a reason to seek God. I'm looking for a reason to keep my focus. I want to find what I am searching for. It's amazing to me how many people hook up with the wrong people, marry the wrong people, date the wrong people, and then they get messed up, they get divorced, they break up, they're on their fourth marriage, they're on the eighth boyfriend in 6 months, and they just say there's no good guys out there, there's no good women out there. No, that's what you're seeking, and because you're seeking that, you're finding that. You're not going to find your mate up in the club. It's hard to find your mate up in the church house. It's hard to find your mate when we have all of these big church events. But when you seek God, you're going to find somebody eventually that can keep stride with you seeking the same God. And you're going to turn to your right and say, well, hello there. I didn't know you love God like I love God. Maybe we should get together and talk about this God. But when you start seeking the wrong things, you're going to find the wrong things. And if you seek the wrong things and you find the wrong things, you can't be surprised when you marry the wrong thing. You seek job because of just the dollar value, you're going to get the wrong job. Come on now. What you seek, you will find. What you seek, you will find, and then that's what you will attract. If you seek the wrong things, you will find the wrong things, and then you become an attractant and a magnet for the wrong things. But when I seek God and him first, I seek him and I find him, and then I start attracting the things of God. There is a magnetic purpose within believers. I sincerely believe this, that when I get filled with the Holy Ghost, when I start living the life that God has called me, when I go to the Word and I'm living every principle that God has taught, I believe that I become a magnet for the things of God. I think I become a magnet for the goodness of God. I think I become a magnet for the favor of God, that I don't have to chase things. But things begin to chase me as I chase after my God. That while I'm following Jesus, good things begin to follow me. Listen, if you'll just make the statement, and you'll make the covenant with God here at the end of February, for the next 10 months, God, I'm going to seek you like I've never sought you before. I'm going to quit worrying about what they say. I'm going to quit worrying about what I don't have, and I'm going to start looking at what I do have. You say, Pastor Brandon, I don't have enough. If you've got God, you've got enough. Keep seeking him. Keep talking to him. Keep following him, and you're going to turn around, and every good and perfect gift that God has blessed you with, you're going to find it before January of 2019, all because you sought God first and you made him your source and not just a resource. So we seek what we find. When we go to the Old Testament, the people began to clamor and said, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else. They were seeking a king, but it was the wrong king. Because they already had a king, Jehovah. They already had a king that ruled in a way that no other king could rule. They already had a king that could wipe out their enemies with just the flick of his fingers. They already had a king that could provide for them and had already proven that he'd provide them in the wilderness and he would lead them to a promised land. But yet they still said, we want a king like the other people. Here is something that you have to know. If you always look at how somebody else is doing it, you will seek the wrong thing. They didn't want a king because they didn't have a king. They didn't want a king because they didn't have direction. They didn't want a king because they didn't have instruction. They wanted a king because they looked at other people that had kings and said, I want to be like them. Can I encourage you? Don't compare yourself to other people and don't dumb yourself down by how somebody else is living when God has called you to a higher way of life and a higher way of living. I'm encouraging somebody today that your life has been frustrating because you've been looking at the Joneses and you've been trying to keep up with them and you've been looking at your neighbor. Don't look at your neighbors. Don't look around. Look up. Look to Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher of your faith. He's going to make sure that every gift that he has promised comes true. He's the holder of destiny. He's the holder of purpose. So they said, we want a king. God said, you want a king? I'll give you a king. He gave him Saul. God put Saul up. Saul, of course, we know is not the person that God really wanted, but they kept clamoring. They were not ready. God was still waiting for David, but they said, we want a king now. But because God's chosen wasn't ready yet and wasn't anointed yet, he said, I'm going to give you a king. Be careful what you ask for because God might give it to you. Be careful the prayers you pray because God might give them to you. I know I say it a lot, but the great theologian Garth Brooks said some of the greatest prayers that I've ever prayed are unanswered prayers. Some of the greatest blessings are unanswered prayers. Aren't you glad as a mature believer that you can look back over the last 10 years of your life and say, God, I thank you that you did not answer my prayer back in 2002. God, I'm thankful that when I was just greedy in the flesh and I was treating you like you weren't, like you were Santa Claus, I'm glad that you didn't give me her. I'm glad. Don't act like you ain't going to scroll through Facebook, through your old ex-boyfriends and ex-girlfriend and say, God, I thank you that I didn't end up with that, him or her. God, I'm thankful that I didn't take that job. I'm glad that I sought you. God, I'm glad that I didn't get my eyes on the things of this world, and I'm glad that I haven't punked out of the race. I'm glad that I haven't quit the race. I'm glad that I haven't done what others have done, but I've kept my eyes on you. Saul was the people's choice, and the people clamored, we want a king. You already have a king. His name is Jehovah. We know him as Jesus in the New Testament. Can I encourage you that everything that you want is found in Jesus? If it is a thing that you want that is not found in Jesus, it is a thing that you do not need. Because every good and perfect gift comes from above. If it's not good, it's not God. If it's not God, it's not good. You need to make sure that what you seek can be found in Jesus. Because outside of Christ, if it can't be found in Jesus, you don't want it to be a part of your life. David was God's choice. I love this. When people put you on a pedestal, then people can take you off. I don't want promotion to come from people. And when we're talking about promotion, we might be talking about a $10,000 a year raise, but we might be talking about promotion into health or promotion into deliverance or promotion in your anointing, whatever it may be. But I don't want people to promote me because people will promote you prematurely. And when people put you up, then people can take you down. And my destiny and my purpose is not in the hands of man. It's in the hands of God. I'm here to tell you, I don't want people to promote me to a position that God's going to promote me to in 5 years. I don't want them to do it in 5 months. I want it to be God's timing. I want my hands to hold what God has called them to hold when he has called them to hold it. Because a blessing of God in the wrong time is not a blessing of God. It can actually injure you. When God promotes you, it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what people do. They can't stop you because they can't stop God. God's plan cannot be thwarted. God's plan cannot be stopped by the outside influences. The only one that can stop God's plan is us. The only one that can stop God's plan for Brandon's life. It's not the devil. I don't give him that kind of place. He is a defeated foe and a defeated enemy. And so I can't say the devil wins. The devil never wins. Brandon just loses if he chooses to lose. But I made up my mind 18 years ago. I'm not going to be a loser. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. Have you kept your eyes on Jesus for 18 years? I've kept my eyes on Jesus. Sometimes they kind of fluttered and sometimes they look to the left and right. But like Peter, when I began to sink, I said, Jesus, I remember you're the one who called me out on the water. I'm not going to seek. I'm not going out like that. Revelation 3:8. This is a great revelation for someone. We always pray for God to open doors. This is what Revelation 3:8 says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. God does not open doors before you. God sets down in front of you doors that are already open. You've been banging on a door saying, God, I need you to open this door. If you are constantly banging on a door for it to open, it is not a God-given door because the doors that God gives are already open. I am not standing in the hall waiting on God to do something. I'm saying, God, when you're ready, there's going to be an open door that I'm not even going to have to break stride. I'm talking to somebody today that God is getting ready to put an open door before you in 2018 where you're not going to have to stop and pray about it, fast about it, talk about it, complain about it, but you're not even going to have to break stride when you get to the appointed place at the appointed time because you've been seeking God. The door's going to be set before you wide open, and you're going to walk into your destiny. You're going to walk into the greatest season of your life without having to break stride. I am tired of complacent Christians that say they're waiting on God. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting for a generation that wakes up seeking Him first. God is waiting for a generation that seeks Him often. I'm seeking God. Too much of our time, church, is wasted on saying that we are waiting on God to open a door. We're not waiting on God to open a door. Prayer is not me begging God out of His reluctance. Prayer is God encouraging me in my obedience. My obedience opens doors. My obedience to seeking Him first, to seeking up and to seeking often is what keeps the doors opening in my life. If you're standing in front of a closed door, I want you to take your eyes off of the doorknob. I want you to take your eyes off of the door. I want you to put your eyes to the heaven and say, God, I want you to set before me an open door. But until you do, I'm going to seek you. Somebody say yes. My source, not a resource. My source. My source. I'm not looking to people for what only God can do. God will use people, but people will never use God. God will use people to bless. God will use people to move us around, but promotion does not come from the north, south, east, or west. I look up. It was Job that said, I realize where my help comes from. It was David in Psalm 121 who said, I look to the hills from which cometh my help. You're talking about a man who made mistake after mistake after mistake, but he said, whenever I make a mistake and I get a little off track or I step out of the will of God, I remember enough to look up and quit looking at everybody else. And when my eyes find God, my feet find a sure place. When my eyes find God, my faith starts to grow. When my eyes find God, my body starts feeling better. When my eyes find God, my marriage starts doing better. When my eyes find God, my children start walking circumspectly. When my eyes find God, I feel a fresh anointing. When my eyes find God, but there's so many things competing for our attention. Too many things competing for our gaze and our direction. David, on the roof of his kingdom, of his palace, when he's looking at God, there's a woman named Bathsheba who is bathing in the house next to the palace, and his gaze is shifted. I want to encourage you, in the first couple months of this year, the adversary has done all he can to shift your gaze. Because your body follows where your eyes look. Your life follows where your gaze sets on. And I'm here to encourage you, if your body got off track by what you're looking at, look at something new. I'm going to say that again. If your eyes led you astray because you were looking at something wrong, then you can right that ship today by looking up saying, God, I'm not going to look at anything else in this world. I'm going to make sure I keep looking at you. But you know why we don't look up for often? Very often? This is why. When we worship, we have no problem throwing our head back and worshiping God. But you know why we do that? Because we're standing still. As long as I'm not moving, I don't mind looking up. And on Sunday mornings, we don't move. We look up. It's the time that we press pause for 90 minutes of our week to look up and seek God. But seeking God on Sunday is not going to work on Thursday. You seek the God on Thursday that you want to work on Thursday. You seek the God on Friday that you want to move on Friday. The God you seek on Sunday moves on Sunday. He doesn't keep moving Monday, Tuesday. It's the God that you seek is the God that you work on the day that you seek. But the reason that we look up when we're standing still is because there's nothing to trip over when I'm standing still worshiping. The problem is when we leave this house and we got to start walking, we don't know what we're going to bump into. We don't know when we're going to hit a step. And then we start tripping over things and we start stumbling over things, which causes us to what? Start looking down. I got that bill to pay and I don't have that much money. She's talking bad about me, and my boss is coming against me and is threatening to fire me, and my spouse is threatening to leave me, and I just got a call from the kids' school, and they're threatening to expel my daughter, and I've got all of these things going on, and that old addiction is creeping back, and it's all because we started looking here. But my Bible says this, that God, He orders the steps. The God that I look at orders the steps. If God orders the steps, I don't even have to look where my feet are. God says, Brandon, walk 10 steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Stop. Turn to the right. Yes, sir. But we get nervous because we're no longer looking like everybody else looks. We're looking up. We've got a problem in this world. I go to the airports. People are walking in the airports.
Not even looking.
Bumping into people. There are people now that have been hit by cars because they walked out in a crosswalk. How many of us are so concerned with what's going on here that we've missed what's going on there? We're so concerned with what's going on here that we miss God's voice when God says stop, when God says turn, when God says back up, when God says speed up, when God says slow down. There is a source that you have that has never been wrong, that has never given bad directions, that has never gotten lost, that has never been confused. That has never been double-minded, come on now. That has never been sad. That has never been depressed. You've got a source that is 100% right every single time. And yet, we're searching in other places, in other people. When God says, how many times are you going to get it wrong before you look to the author and the finisher? I'm your source. Look up. Don't look at that bill. Look up. I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. I'm going to keep looking up. Don't worry about that person that just walked out of your life. Just keep looking up. I'm going to bring somebody to walk stride for stride with you that loves me just like you love me and serves me just like you serve me. But God, what about that person that walked out of my... Don't worry. Just keep seeking up. I'm your source. I'll bring you who you need. I'll bring you what you need. Don't look to anybody else but me. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Seek up. Seek first. Seek often. My source is God. Doesn't mean that I never have a need or a deficit in my life. It means the God that I look to is always bigger than what I'm facing. I'm talking to somebody today that it's a frustrating way of life to know God but not have God work in your life. To hear of miracles, to hear of signs and wonders, but they don't happen in your life like they happen in someone else's life. I'm here to tell you, that's not how it should be. The God that you hear of healing somebody's cancer wants to heal your cancer. The God that's working in somebody else's life wants to work in your life, but you've got to seek first, seek up, and seek often. I choose my source. When I seek God first, He said, everything you need. He said, it'll be added to you. You know what? I love that. That means my job becomes seeking him because the things are added. I didn't work for them. They're added to me. Meaning that my job, come on now, is to seek God. Do we spend as much time talking to God as we do our spouse? Do we spend as much time seeking God as we do employment? Do we spend as much time on God in God's word as we do on our fantasy football and basketball teams? Come on now. Seek up. Seek first. Seek often. I want to open this altar right now to people in this room that what I preach today has resounded within you, that your eyes have traveled off course, that your gaze is not set firmly on Jesus Christ. My friend Lawrence Bishop, who preached here last week, I always love to hear him preach because there's a conviction even in me when he preaches that I'm not doing enough. That I preach a lot about the Word of God, the things of God, but to keep Jesus the main thing, the gospel of Christ. In this room today, there are people that have been struggling. There are people that have been searching. There are people that have not been able to lay their hands on what God has promised and said you could have in His Word. But I want to encourage you today, all that's going to change when your gaze changes, when you shift focus in your life. We're way too concerned with what's happening around us instead of what God's wanting to do in us, which can change what's happening around us. If you're in this audience today, and you say, Pastor Brandon, there's some things I'm going through that it's tough for me to handle, and I've been trying to handle them on my own, but I can't. I'm here to just help you shift your focus back to Christ. Peter was one of the greatest men to ever walk the face of the earth, and yet he still struggled with sinking and drowning. God's going to lift you back up. You're going to walk on the waves that were trying to kill you this week when you walked in here. If that's you, I want you to leave your seat and I want you to join me in this altar. I want you to get ready for the greatest season of your life, all because you're looking in a different way. God bless you, Chris. Chris, God's doing some great things in your life. We had a great, great service last night. Young people just laid out on the altar for 30 or 45 minutes, just calling out to God, just God doing some great things. God bless you. God bless these ladies that have come. I know that these five that have gathered in this altar represent about another 50 in this house. That what I've said today, you say, well, it doesn't really apply to me. I just want to encourage you. If your life is not what God promised it would be, I encourage you, your focus needs to shift. And when your focus shifts, you've got to make it a point in your life, I will never allow my gaze to look at anything but God. High tide comes, low tide happens, the ebb and flow of life, high waves, big storms. My eyes are focused on Christ. Seek first. Seek up. Seek often. God, I thank you for what you've done in this house today. Lord, as I have shared your word,